Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. You can email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Taking your computer comments, questions, and concerns, feel free to get online, and we'll do our best to help you out. Usually a good time to get on is early, because by the 10 o'clock hour, it does get kind of crazy. So we're here from 9 to 11. Just reminding you. I know it's snowing out there, and you're out running out for milk and bread. Or it's going to snow. It could snow, and you're running out for milk and bread. In between that, feel free to give me a call. Some news here that was kind of interesting. Los Angeles is on fire, as we know. They got the big wildfires. And this is a report from police. Los Angeles police tell drivers not to trust the navigation apps as the fact that basically you could be driving into a fire. You want to know why that road is nice and clear on the on a typical packed highway? Well, you got fire all over the place. So that kind of makes sense. I didn't think of that when it comes to technology. Although, if you've listened to this show, we don't trust technology at all, usually. We're pretty much always skeptics. But it does make some sense. So if you think about it, if you're in any kind of disaster situation like a wildfire, that road is going to be wide open and clear, and Waze is going to say, hey, go this way, right into a fire. Now, we've seen crazy things like people driving off bridges and driving off roads because of their just trusting the navigation app. But this is a real thing. This could be a problem. Keep it in mind. I don't know where you stick it in the back of your head, because if you're in a disaster situation, you're probably not thinking that clearly, and you're going to trust technology even more. But maybe the folks at Waze and these navigation companies probably better consider some sort of geofencing of some kind that says, hey, there's a fire over here, and apply some sort of weight to the fact that the highway is wide open, you know? So I found that kind of interesting.
It's interesting that it can tell you if there's a car pulled over on the side of the road on fire, but it can't tell you that the road is on fire.
Exactly. Interesting news. The content providers, folks like Amazon and Google, are fighting. Basically, some of the stories that I've seen, this is a Washington Post headline, Amazon and Google are fighting, and that means consumers lose. Two tech giants are in a messy streaming video fight right now, leaving consumers squeezed in the middle. The thing about this, though, guys, is this is not talking about net neutrality. Remember, we got to make sure that your YouTube isn't blocked using the evil cable companies blocking your YouTube channel. This is Google telling Amazon, I'm pulling my YouTube app from your Amazon Echo Show, pulling it from your Fire TV. Nothing to do with net neutrality here. These are the two content providers that are fighting for net neutrality with the other cable folks, the Cox and Comcasts of the world. They want them to not throttle and not to block their YouTube channel. But Google thinks it's completely okay to take YouTube right off of the Amazon hardware because Amazon is not selling some of the things that they want, that Google wants to have them sell. My point on this would be, let them fight, guys. You want them to fight it out, right? Let Google punch Amazon in the nose. Let Amazon punch Google in the nose. Let Cox and Google fight it out. If we don't let them fight it out, we're not going to get a better thing. What do you want to chime in on here, Joey?
Do you have Amazon Fire TV or anything like that?
No, I use TiVo.
Okay, so I have the Amazon Fire TV,
yeah,
which has the YouTube app.
And not until next month it doesn't.
Forever, what's happened is there's always been the YouTube app.
Right.
But I cannot watch my purchase content through the Amazon Fire TV.
So they're blocking that.
They've already been blocking that forever.
Gosh, that sounds so, I don't know, maybe we should have hardware neutrality, right? So I can't believe Blumenthal hasn't chimed in and said, all boxes are created equal and must be allowed to share content. No blocking allowed. No, of course you can block it. Mm-hmm. Right?
So if you've purchased something from the Google Play Store, which you use YouTube to watch your movies.
You can't do it.
You can't. But I can use the Wii. The Wii U will watch my purchased YouTube content.
Look at that. Choices,
so
choices,
Nintendo
choices.
Is like, yeah, we don't care, whatever.
Right. Same thing with TiVo right now.
Yeah.
But
now.
Now. Well, see, the whole thing about this is really choice, right? It's consumers and choice, and you'll deal with the issues as they fall out. But, you know, the irony, the great irony of all this that I just love so much is the big content provider, Google, those that you are in the net neutrality camp want to make sure you preserve your access to your little YouTube channel, right? It's owned by Google. You're out there fighting for net neutrality to make sure your YouTube channel's not throttled, but Google will rip it off your Amazon device. You can't have it both ways, Google.
Sure they can. They have enough money.
Well, it is deliciously ironic. I'll put it up there for you. You can take a look at. Oh, by the way, the Washington Post is owned by
Google?
No, Amazon.
Amazon. Oh, there you go.
And the Washington Post couldn't get a comment from any of them. But it is one of those things. Did you have anything you wanted to bring up, Bob?
Yeah, I got a few articles here.
Yeah.
You want me to do my favorite one?
Sure.
Or the news one?
Whichever one you want to do. I don't know what your favorite one is.
Well, there's a video out, a PSA, actually, starring Linda Carter.
Oh, Wonder Woman. Oh, yeah, I had a crush on her.
Yeah, she was the original Wonder Woman.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So she's doing a PSA it's a stirring ad in support of the Lone Gamer.
The Lone Gamer.
Yeah, because what's happened over time is all these gaming consoles and the consoles, they've all gone into the cloud. Mm-hmm. And it supports multi-gaming mode.
Okay.
So if you just want to play the game by yourself,
you're
out in the cold, baby.
Wait a minute. Okay, so what are you saying?
So if you want to play most of the games now, you have to join into multiplayer.
Well, there's some of the good aspects of these games are multiplayer, yes.
I get that.
But
the problem is, and I tried this a while back, and then I just got off from gaming completely because... Mm-hmm. You go into a game, a room, and join a bunch of them. Yeah. And these guys are like friggin' experts. You know what I mean?
You get crushed out there, Bob, huh?
You last about a tenth of a second, maybe a millisecond.
Yeah.
And you're dead. And you can't, every time you re-enter, that you're dead before you even can lift your assault weapon.
So maybe you need it by, you need to have it by age group and maybe by skill set.
Well, yeah. Well, maybe they should like have... beginner's mode or something like that, but no, that's not the way it works. And then the experts, they like to get into the ones where they're better so they can have more kills and run up their score. No. So
I don't think there's some of those that are like that, but so she's doing a PSA for folks like you who just can't match up?
Well, yeah, so that they're actually, what's it called? She says, I blame social media.
Uh-huh.
Concocted communities like Facebook, Instagram made us believe that everyone must be enjoyed in a plurality.
Mm.
And then the belief infected gaming. Suddenly, everything was multiplayer and the lone gamer was shunned.
This is really a Linda Carter PSA?
Actually, if you
Did the Onion put it on?
No.
No? All right.
This is on CNET.
Okay. All right.
And she actually does the video. She does it quite well.
I'm sure.
She has a hard time not breaking into a laugh. But
And you think this is serious, huh?
Well, yeah.
Maybe we can have Joey find it so he can hear it.
Well, yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah.
So, yes, the Lone Gamer. Well, I don't know. I love multiplayer games, especially certain games that are out there. And, you do have to play a bit to be able to compete. But, you got to put in the time, Bob. You got to get good, right, Joey?
Well, you also got to spend some money on fast internet.
Yep.
You need a super fast computer.
Yeah.
So, and you got to buy these special controllers that gives you, what's it called?
Fast reflexes. You're right.
And all that.
Well, you got to go into battle with the hardware you've got. Otherwise, you're just going to get picked off.
Well, that's the problem. You go in with the hardware you got, you ain't got a chance in where. Hades.
We'll find that video for you guys, and I'd love to hear it. So we're going to be here until 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. Right now, we got four lines all jammed up. We got Bob in Florida, Rich in Kensington, Steve in Glastonbury, Kathy in Bristol. We'll get to your calls after this quick break. We'll be right back. Back. Gotta wait for that punchline, you know? Gary Hoey, ho ho hoey. Thank you, Joey. We're gonna be here till 11 o'clock, and it is the season. If you're gonna get out there and buy your bread and milk and get some Christmas shopping in, better do it quick. Might snow. But yeah, we're gonna be here. Yeah, that's right. We're gonna be here till 11 o'clock. Let's get to your calls. You're gonna go to Bob in sunny Florida next. Morning, Bob.
Yes, it's not sunny today. We've got rain for the first time in about 5 or 6 weeks.
Mwah.
But that's okay.
Yes,
that's
it is.
Okay. We all wanted it down here.
Yeah, good for you. That's great. What's going on?
Hey, I've got a Hewlett-Packard color laser jet printer that spontaneously began to not want to print.
All right.
And the display on it has, maybe you guys have heard of this before, display comes up firmware corrupt, ready to download.
Okay. Yeah, it's pretty bad.
It doesn't seem to be a... unique situation, because I've Googled it and tried to find a solution for myself and tried a whole bunch of things and have been able to, using the upon startup, squeezing the little display screen, and I'm able to get the printer to get into the program permanent storage initiation phase, and I end up with the display on the printer having a normal appearance.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm able to print reports and such from the display options. But I can't send anything to the printer, and eventually what ends up happening is the same thing that presents itself on a black, it's a black screen.
Yeah.
It's a HP logo that says, ready to download, firmware corrupt.
Right.
I've gotten that display. I got the printer in the ready state.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I've attempted to download the latest firmware,
mm-hmm.
but the question, I guess, seems to be that you can't successfully load the same version or any version of firmware onto the printer that's got corrupted firmware in it.
Does sound like a catch-22, doesn't it?
It does, yeah. I don't know if you guys have faced this before, or if you have a suggestion that you might be able to tell me about find.
Yeah, generally... a firmware issue like this would mean you're bricked, generally.
Yeah.
Brick means it's just a piece of plastic now. But there are specific instructions that I found, and maybe Bob's found too, that do give you an approach that you can try to correct this. But when your firmware is corrupt, basically the system is lobotomized, and to the point where it can't. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
So it's to the point where it can't even make the interface work. So, but we do have some specific HP instructions here that we can post for you.
That would be great.
Yeah, and that might solve your issue. You can try it. Otherwise, if it is still happening, you just need to buy a new printer because it's become bricked.
But here's the frustrating part about it is, and you've heard this story before. And I'm in Florida because we spend part of the year here and part of the year in Western Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
And this printer has probably printed 50 pages.
Oh, boy.
Okay? And we, you know, and of course, most of the time, I don't even know why, I'm sure the warranty had expired, but most of the time, it sits idle here.
Yeah.
And we bought the laser printer because of the intermittent use of an inkjet.
Yeah.
The jets get clogged up.
Right.
We went out and bought a laser printer.
Yep.
My wife went to print a couple of pages, and all of a sudden, it, like you say, it bricked up, and it's really frustrating.
It is. Trust me, I'm sorry it happened to you. It happens on certain devices. You just got unlucky. But you made all the right choices. I agree with everything you said. Buy a laser. It'll last you a long time. The ink doesn't go bad. It's a toner. Unfortunately, you got unlucky with this particular model. We put a link here for you. Bob, did you want to add anything else to what we said as far as what he should try?
Well, yeah, that's
one thing. Is the link going to be talking about addressing the non-volatile RAM and trying to wipe that thing clean as if it was just
ready to
accept the original firmware that the factory put in it?
No. This one takes a different approach. It tells you, first of all, and it gives you instructions how to clear the print spooler.
Right.
Basically, what it's going to do is it's going to delete everything that has to do with the driver to that printer.
Right.
And then it's going to tell you how to delete the printer driver and reinstall it. And what it's suggesting is then when you get further down, it'll say you choose your printer, you can press a manual or send firmware button, and then it'll update the firmware in the printer.
Yeah, it's a different way to apply that firmware than maybe you've tried.
So
I'll give nothing ventured, nothing gained. I got a brick right now.
Yeah, it's from HP, so it's probably the best way to try it. Otherwise, there's no other options, and then you can go out and buy a new printer.
No, I'm a little tainted now. I've been an HP printer guy for a long time. I got a black and white laser that's been it's a workhorse. Never fails.
Yeah.
Have you guys got any recommendations in terms of brands that might be better than HP?
HP.
Okay.
All right, stick with it.
Gotcha.
Yeah, they're fine.
Okay, I'll look for the link. You're going to put it on your site?
Yes, it'll be on Facebook. Okay. If you follow us on Twitter, it'll get it there as well. And it'll be on the regular old-fashioned site. All right, Bob?
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Right, bye-bye. Yeah, it's no fun when you get your printer bricked like that.
Or anything.
Yeah, firmware is a problem, right? So firmware is something you want to update regularly on things like firewalls and phones and what have you, right? You want the latest and greatest because you want to make sure your security is good. Somehow his firmware got messed up on this printer, most likely because the printer's got a problem. I don't think even our solution is going to fix it for him because firmware just doesn't go wonky like that generally. So he's going to try it. I'm going to predict it's not going to work anyways, and he's going to buy a new printer. But your firmware pretty much is how your system understands itself. It knows where its arms and legs are and its brain. It's the whole thing about the hardware.
The firmware is the brain, if you will, of the printer.
Yeah.
The device.
Exactly. All right, so we're going to be here until 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. We have one line open for you, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Everything we do talk about today will be posted live by Mike G. He's been doing it for years and years and years for us. And it'll go on live on Facebook. If you follow us on Twitter at TabComputerSys, you follow us at Twitter, man. I can't believe it. Right next to Trump. It's like Tab, it's TabComputerSys, Trump, whatever's in your line there. We're right there behind him.
Where's the Instagram?
Yeah, you know.
Pinterest?
Snapchat? I got to draw a line somewhere, Joey.
Come on.
But you're right. We could Snapchat it to you.
You could, yeah.
What is that, 12-year-olds use Snapchat? I don't know. But we'll get to all the 12-year-olds out there. But we're going to be here until 11 o'clock. We'll be right back. This is Computer Talk. We're going to be here until 11 o'clock. Taking in a little more Gary Hoey. Got to love a producer like Joey. I mean, I didn't even have to remind him. He just did it. I mean, that's tech. That is just don't get that every day, Joey. That's good stuff, man. That's good stuff. So we're going to be here until 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. Got to tell you a quick story. You know how successful I've been with buying technology online. I told you my TiVo horror story, which still gets people asking me, how did that ever turn out? It still didn't turn out well, but I said, forget it. I don't care. TiVo can't get past themselves. So we decided to buy some stuff for for Christmas for our family. Tried to buy two Google phones on the Google Store. All right, Google Pixel 2s. This is Google. They own the internet, right? They know what kind of peanut butter I have on my English muffin. So I try to order these two Google phones. I get an email back saying, "Yep, your order's been placed. That's great." And then Sunday at 3 a.m, they say your order's been canceled. Like, what the heck? What is it with me in buying things on the internet? So I dutifully call Google. Talking to Google, you can call them out there in California. And they don't have a clue as to why the order was canceled. I talked to my credit card. Hey, credit card, is there any problem with my credit? Nope. They saw Google come in, approve, you know, the credit card approved the purchase, and then they saw Google come in and take it away. I was like, what did I do wrong? Who did I get mad at the internet? But even Google themselves couldn't figure out why Google canceled my order. Now, again, Google knows what kind of peanut butter I eat on my English muffin, but they themselves couldn't figure out why they themselves canceled my order. It's the year 2017, and we don't know how to do online ordering, Google?
Well, Google's got other problems. I got signed up somehow for Red Tag.
What is that?
It's some sort of video and music service.
Oh, like Redbox?
Yes.
Okay.
And it costs $10.99 a month.
But you didn't sign up for it. Huh?
I didn't sign up for it. I got it. And they credited me for it.
That's
and
nice.
They said, well, you won't have this problem again.
You had it again?
Well, yeah. Now this is the third month in a row that I've been billed since they canceled my order.
You're kidding.
I got a confirmation and everything. I got to give them a call again.
This is why I bring this stuff up, folks. I can't be the only guy with these types of problems. I feel like I'm the only guy. But I couldn't believe it. Why you cancel my order? Oh, we don't really know why we canceled your order.
Well, they canceled yours probably, and they meant to cancel mine.
There it is. There it is. All right, let's get to your calls. You guys have bigger problems than my problems. So let's go on to the next caller, which would be Rich in Kensington. Hey, Rich.
Good morning, guys.
Morning.
How you doing?
Hi, good. Is this our first clarinet player?
It is.
What can we do for you?
So I tried what we chatted about the other night, and I got frustrated, so I ended up calling HP.
Uh-huh.
And for $20, which I thought was very decent, the gentleman took hold of my computer and got my printer working wirelessly again.
Yeah, good.
And now I'm not able to get it again. So, I mean, I have 14 days. I can call him back. I figured, let me see what Eric has to say.
Well, do you have a credit card? I'll take that right now. Because clearly you're willing to pay.
I'll give it to you tomorrow.
Yeah, at the concert. So basically, they must not. Did they work with DHCP? Did they talk? You and I talked about going into DHCP on your firewall and setting up a reservation. Did they talk about that for you?
No, they did not.
Correct. So they fixed your. So you can fix problems all day, right? There's ways to fix them so they stay fixed, or there's ways to fix them so they'll break again. He was banking that the way he told you to do it would work, but you need to set an IP address for this printer that is not one that is handed out on a regular basis. And so what you have to do is go into your firewall's DHCP settings.
Eric? I'm sorry.
DHCP. D as in dog, H as in hi, happy, C as in Charlie, P as in Paul.
It's Dynamic Host Configuration Protocol.
And everything on the network gets an address. The problem with wireless printers like this is they're getting a different address all the time, and your computer didn't know where they moved to. That's why your printing stops working sometimes like this. So you have to go into the DHCP and reserve IP addresses that it can't hand out anymore. So like I think we talked about in rehearsal to have like 10 addresses that you're gonna tell the DHCP to start handing out addresses beyond .10 or .11, wherever you want, or .20, wherever you want. You can do it. And so then you go to your printer and tell it what address it's going to have. You say, you're going to be at .5. And if you set your address at .5 and you have your DHCP handing out addresses beyond .10, you shouldn't have this issue again. I'll never say never, because we need those $20 fees every now and again for everybody. Yep. So but if you do that and then you configure your printer, your driver again, you remove it and say, hey, I want to add a new printer, it'll detect it at .5, and that should solve your issue permanently, I hope. Until you change your firewall. I assume you own your firewall, right?
Yes.
Okay. Do you follow me?
Sort of.
I know, yeah.
You know, I'm techie to a certain degree, but
yeah,
I think I comprehend what you're talking about. And
it's addressing, Rich. It's an address.
With snow coming down, I guess I got something to play with this afternoon.
Yeah. Just look up your firewall's manual and look up how to get into DHCP and set up reservations. Okay. And you're going to reserve areas so that your printer's got one of those addresses. And then go to your printer, set that within the menu on the printer itself, uninstall the driver, reinstall it, have it find it, and you should be good. You can also do some, you know, Bob, you could tell them how to get to port settings, right, on the printer config, on the printer driver config where he chooses the IP address.
Right. If you right-click on the printer and you go halfway down the menu and you choose the properties of the printer,
then
you can click on the tab that's the shows the ports.
Right.
And you'll see which port you have. And it's probably got, like, numbers and letters, and you don't really see an IP. But what you do is there is an option down there where you can create a new port. So you can create a new TCP/IP port.
Right.
And you give it the name 192.168.1.whatever number that you wanted to choose. I'm just picking a number at random, whatever your network is.
Right.
So then it'll create that port. Then you check that port in that box, and now that's the IP address that you assign to your printer, right. And your printer should work right there.
That's a way to do it. I figured that was just one more extra convoluted step that you'd have to go through, but if you just uninstall and reinstall the driver, that should take care of it as well, doing it for you.
That sounds easier.
I like easier, but I want to make sure Bob talked about the other technical aspects of how you could address that printer as well. So.
Okay.
But you have to make sure you reserve the space on the DHCP from the firewall, or it's going to hand out an address again. It's going to move on you. You don't want that printer to move.
All right, sir.
All right.
Yeah, I'll let you know tomorrow how I make out.
Yeah, we'll see you tomorrow.
Okay. Aaron.
All right, take it easy, Rich.
Thanks, Bob.
No problem. We don't like moving targets.
Nothing does. So, yeah, Rich and I are part of a community band. We're going to be playing at St. Paul, big Christmas program Sunday. Sold out, sorry. But it's always fun to play with Bristol Brass and Wind. Let's go on to Steve in Glastonbury next. Hey, Steve.
Hi, how are you?
Good, good. How are you doing?
Pretty good.
Good.
Curious if you have a recommendation for a good way to dispose of old hard drives from legacy computers.
Yep. Simple way is to take them out and take a hammer to them. Take your frustrations out, bang it up with a hammer. Now it won't be... You can't look at them anymore. And then you can bring them to a company called Green Monster in West Hartford. They'll probably take them for free if you want to have it disposed of more responsibly. Or you can put them in the trash. Doesn't matter. But as long as you bang the hard drive pretty good.
Drill a hole through it.
You could drill a hole through it. Yeah, it'll do a number on your drill bit, though, won't it? We go through a lot of drill bits at TAB.
Well, the reason is because if you go through the case, which is aluminum, and you go through the platters, which is steel, it's not a problem.
Right.
But there's one... cover on the backside or front side with the label that's made of stainless steel.
Ouch.
Stainless steel has nickel in it, and it sticks to your steel drill bits under very low pressure. It actually separates from the alloy, and then that buildup on your drill bit edge prevents it from cutting anymore.
Right. So you'd say flip it over, go from the bottom.
Yeah. Well, I would recommend that you get carbide dies instead of what we're getting.
Well, that's true. Those are expensive, though, Bob.
Yes, they are, but they last a long time, and you don't get that buildup. You can drill through stainless.
Yeah. So it's up to you, Steve. Drill it if you want. You're not going to go through a lot of hard drives. Bang it with a hammer.
When you hit that stainless plate, stop.
Yeah.
So you're recommending violence on the hard drive.
Yeah.
Oh. I'm just checking.
Yeah, violence on the hard drive, man.
All right. Thanks very much.
You got it, sir.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right.
If you want to keep your data safe.
Yeah. We're going to step out for a quick break, get back to more of your calls. You got a couple three lines open right now. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. Joey's having too much fun in there. We've been doing this for like 23 years, and I think, Joey, how long have you been at WTIC?
13 years now, I think.
All right. So even you started producing our show.
It's been a while, yeah.
I think we probably had 20 producers.
I was talking to someone about that the other day, how many people I've trained around these doorways.
In 13 years, yeah.
Wow.
So he's still here, and he's kicking. It's great to have Joey in the production. So, I mean, Matt does a great job, too, but...
he's Matt. I love doing it.
I know.
I tell Janine, put me on the schedule every once in a while for a Saturday. I don't mind it.
Awesome.
It's like old home week.
Exactly. And Joey's a geek as well, so.
No.
Oh, yeah, you are. We're going to get to your calls. Let's go to Kathy in Bristol. Hey, Kathy. What's going on, Kath?
Okay, so I'm looking to get a new computer.
All right.
Mine is way old.
Oh, sure.
It's running Vista.
Oh, boy, that is old.
I know. It's like it's 8 years old, I think, when I bought it.
You got your money's worth.
Yeah. Well, I haven't used it like in a year. I use my phone, basically.
Oh.
But I think I found one. It's an HP, and it's got an i7 processor and all this other stuff. So, but my question is, now, for my old computer, if there's stuff that I want to transfer to the computer, and I don't want to have to worry about, like, transferring a virus, mainly it's probably just pictures. So I download those pictures onto a flash drive.
You can.
And then load it into the new computer.
Yep, you can do it that way. Sure.
Why? What's another way?
Put them on a hard drive. Put them on a, you can connect the machines together in a network. There's many ways to do it, but the way you're saying it is a fine way.
Okay.
It depends on how many pictures you have, though. But I suspect with Vista.
Don't, like thousands. It's not that many.
It's probably a small hard drive, yeah.
Yeah. But the other thing, too, was when I asked as far as an antivirus program, two places I've already gone to asking about OpenDNS, and they don't know anything about it.
Yeah, they were selling sneakers the month before.
Say that again?
Those guys were selling sneakers the month before. That's why they don't know anything about it.
Oh, okay.
They're not true geeks. I mean, you know, unfortunately, today's youth, unfortunately, just doesn't know a whole lot about how computers work and how the network works and how internet works. They know how an app works, but they just don't know how the rest of it all works. And I'm just joking about them selling sneakers. It's sad they don't know about something like OpenDNS, but as my standard joke, if they don't know what they're talking about, they probably were selling sneakers the month before, and now they're selling computers.
That sounds reassuring.
Sorry. It's not hard to sell a computer. You just look at that one. It's got i7. Oh, look at that one. It's got i5. A lot of folks just don't know what the innards are made of and how it separates the different machines from themselves. But OpenDNS is not an antivirus. That's a safe method of browsing the internet. So that's a good step, and you should definitely do that. And guess what? It's free.
Yeah, so when I get the computer, the computer itself, it will have an antivirus program on it?
Probably that one that they're going to get credit for selling to you that you may or may not extend payment on. You can uninstall that antivirus because you can use the built-in Windows Defender as a good antivirus.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So that's what I should do. Just get rid of what currently is on there and you, not purchase the antivirus program from them. Just use what's on the, because it's running like Windows 10 or whatever, and that's the Defender.
And generally, it's a good antivirus program as long as you're running OpenDNS as well. If you're not,
just make sure you turn it back on.
Turn what back on?
The Windows Defender after you uninstall antivirus got installed, it disables Defender.
Right.
So you want to turn it back on when you uninstall it.
Yep.
So, but when I buy the computer, it will have the Defender on it, correct?
Yep.
And then I configure OpenDNS on it.
Yes, exactly.
And to do that, do I have to shut down the Defender?
No. You can configure OpenDNS anytime you want.
Okay, so that's good. That answers that.
Good.
Now, my other issue is with my modem that, of course, is rented from Comcast.
Yeah.
And they just sent notice that they're going to increase the rental fee now.
How much they charge already?
10. Now they're going up to 11.
$10. I mean, you know what's kind of funny, Kath? I mean, 11 bucks to rent a modem. And I'll talk to businesses who are happy to pay Comcast $150, $250 bucks a month to rent the phones for their business system and end up spending five times what they would spend if they just bought it, which is what you're trying to do, right? You want to buy a modem, right?
Yeah. Now, is it better to, and I've heard this, where it's better to have a separate router and a separate modem
as
opposed to having the combo?
Correct.
But I don't know if I can, I guess I can go on YouTube and figure it out how to do it.
As far as how to set it up, do you have a 15-year-old kid in your neighborhood?
No.
That wasn't selling sneakers a month before? Just kidding. If your system now is a separate modem and router, or is it a combo?
It's a combo.
Yeah. So you really not going to have a lot of luck finding a combo replacement modem. You're gonna need to find a modem, which is going to be a DOCSIS 3 modem. Target has combos, I hear. Joy just ripped through my brain.
Well, I went to Staples and they had them.
They had a combo?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. All right, my bad. Yeah. So if they've now got combos out, if as long as it's something you can manage, then nothing wrong with doing a combo. As long as it's going to be on, supported on the network you have, whether it's Cox or Comcast.
Yeah, that's what they said. They said this is compatible with Comcast.
Okay, I trust them then. Comcast. Yeah, that then you can do the combo. Why not?
Okay, but now right now mm-hmm. I did a speed test on this because it's really abysmal. I have the lowest tier as far as speed and stuff.
Yeah.
And when I did an upload and a download, it's like 3 megabits. Yes.
Well, for Vista, you wouldn't have known a difference.
No, I'm not using Vista. I'm just trying on my phone when I do a speed test.
Gotcha.
Because I've had it where, there was a problem loading this, and it's reloading whatever I'm trying to look at.
Yeah. Well, what are you paying for?
I don't even know what it is.
Go look at your bill. It'll tell you on your bill. It should tell you what you're paying for speed.
Oh, what I'm paying currently?
Yeah, what you're paying.
$39 a month?
Yeah, no, I knew you were going to tell me that. Yeah, the cost is one thing, but on the bill itself, it should say how many megabits you get for $39.
Oh, really?
I bet they better. I mean, otherwise, we get a sick Blumenthal on them. I'm sure they got it. I got to tell you.
Where would it say that?
Right on the bill. It should say, Kathy, you're paying $39 for our super premium high speed 3 megabit plan.
It just says the bill.
That just is highway robbery. So what you got to do is call them up and say, hey, what am I paying $39 for? And they should tell you what you're paying for.
Okay. And then?
Let's say you're only paying for 3 megabits. Nothing you do is going to fix that unless you pay for more. But I bet you you're getting more than 3 because 3 is really bad. I bet you you're probably paying for 10 or more.
Okay.
So
getting a new modem and a router wouldn't help?
Not if you're paying for 3 now. No. If you're only paying for 3
mm-hmm.
and you're getting 3, the modem's not going to make it faster.
Oh, okay.
So that's
because it was just an old modem.
Well, first find out what you're paying for. You and I can't make any decisions until we know what you're paying for.
Okay.
All right.
And then I got
to
pay more.
Not necessarily. Don't let them do that to you. Find out what you're getting. If you're paying for 10 and only getting 3, then it is your old modem. However, they've been renting you a modem that's not been giving you what you've been paying for a long time. They've been happily doing it to you, which is also not very nice.
Oh, okay.
I went to Best Buy.
Mm-hmm.
And they've got an Aeris surfboard, which is Comcast supported.
Yeah, that's just a modem or both?
Just the modem.
Mm.
It was $49.
Yeah.
So at $11 a month, how many months does it take before you break even?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you understand that, Kath? Find out how much you're paying for it first. That's key.
I will.
All right.
Okay. Thanks so much for your help.
You're welcome.
Yep. Bye bye.
Bye bye. So that's kind of the problem with technology these days. What you're paying for really is key here, guys. I mean, if you don't know how much bandwidth you're paying for, then you really don't know how to make a decision. And then you might find yourself with way too much bandwidth. If you get 3 people in your house, you don't need 65 megabits. Sorry, Joey, it's true. I'm doing 65 megabits with 5 streaming and everything. So be careful with what you're getting and what you're buying. Buying the width is one thing. Then you got to figure out if you're really going to put a bunch of packets on that highway. Just because you buy 65 lanes doesn't mean you have 65 lanes worth of stuff to stick on the highway. We're going to step out for a quick break, get to your calls. Feel free to get online, guys. 4 lines open, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We'll be right back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.